Welcome back, everybody. We continue to roll right here on the Big Talker 1700. Always a good time when we get a chance to chat with Mitch Sherman, ESPN. He comes to us, of course, on the Draft House 50 hotline, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. Mitch, how are you, man?
I'm good, Jim. How are you guys?
Everything's good with us. Let's start first with the atomic bomb that went off last Saturday in beautiful Norman, Oklahoma. Does that, in your estimation, probably do in the Big 12 from getting a team in the Final Four, or do they still have an outside chance?
Well, I think there's still a chance. Anytime you have an undefeated team, there's still a chance. So TCU is going into Manhattan, Kansas this weekend, trying to stay undefeated and rank number six in the country, maybe a little overrated at number six. And it's hard to say that with a great deal of confidence that TCU is going to make it all the way through unbeaten and then win the Big 12 championship game. I think looking at it now, it looks unlikely, very unlikely, that there's going to be an undefeated team coming out of the Big 12. But I don't think there's going to be an undefeated team coming out of most of the Power Five conferences. I suppose by most, that means more than half. And right now I like Clemson's chances and I like Alabama's chances. So, maybe that means I'm saying no undefeated team out of the Pac-12, no undefeated team out of the Big Ten. We'll see. But, you know, right now Oklahoma, despite that loss to Iowa State, if it can get things together, still has a chance because of the Week 2 win over Ohio State. If it comes down to, say, Oklahoma and Ohio State, this is not going to be an instance where the committee is able to overlook some things and pick the Buckeyes. We've seen twice in 3 years where Ohio State has received the benefit of the doubt from the committee, especially last year. Well, if you're in the Big 12, you'd say especially in 2015. But both of those years will be different than this year with the Sooners owning that head-to-head win. So I do think there's a chance if Oklahoma runs the table that it will find a way into the playoff. And that's probably the Big 12's best opportunity, because I think that's more likely than TCU going undefeated the rest of the way.
Mitch, when we had our first conversation after Bob Stoops announced his retirement, I was struggling with this Oklahoma team, just figuring out how they were going to be able to translate things with Lincoln Riley in year number one. You know, is there frustration in Norman about their new head coach? Some head shaking, you know, just some questions going on there, or does he get a little bit of a pass?
No, I don't think you get a pass in Oklahoma.
Right.
You can be 33, 34 years old, and if you've been promoted to that job or hired to take that job, then the expectations are going to remain regardless of your inexperience and youth. And you know, the hope went through the roof after the win at Ohio State. I think you looked at the schedule and you said, okay, if you can win in Columbus, Ohio, then there's nothing on this schedule that's scary. And you certainly didn't expect it to happen against Iowa State. So, yeah, there's some unrest, but I also think that people understand that Oklahoma has a good chance to right the ship if it can figure out some of those things in the secondary that plagued this team a year ago. That's what Ohio State didn't do. Ohio State didn't have a way to stretch the field. And as strange as it sounds, Iowa State in some ways is better at that than Ohio State. There's no Alan Lazard running around on the field for the Buckeyes. There should be, and there probably are guys who were. Alan Lazard was a big recruit, don't get me wrong, but I think there are some guys on that Ohio State roster who were even more touted as recruits, and JT Barrett has not found a way at this point to connect with those guys. So as for Oklahoma, hey, the it's still out there for Oklahoma, as I said. You beat Oklahoma State, you beat TCU perhaps in a rematch, and I think the Sooners are just fine.
Having a conversation right now, Mitch Sherman, ESPN, on the Draft House 50 hotline. Mitch, I'm real curious then. You talked and referenced TCU as the only undefeated team. Are you sold on them? Are you, because you referenced you're not sure if an undefeated will be there in the Big 12. So do you have them tripped up someplace?
Yeah, I think it'll happen. It could happen this weekend.
Okay.
TCU didn't exactly get a cakewalk last week in Fort Worth against West Virginia. So I think there's the possibility coming off of that, that TCU walks into K-State and has some real problems getting out of there with a victory. So, and if not there, then I do think there are opportunities down the road where it's going to be a problem for TCU. Oklahoma definitely comes to mind. Texas is not in any way a walkover this year in the Big 12. So there are numerous opportunities for TCU to stumble, and I think it'll happen in one of those weeks. Now, that's not to say, Jim, that I think TCU is a fraud. I am sold on TCU. I'm sold on what they've done so far. I thought coming into the year that TCU, person for person on that roster, was one of the best teams in the Big 12. It did not materialize last year. TCU was worse than the sum of its parts a year ago in going 6-7, and this year has been more on par with what it should be, or probably a little bit above what it should be. But I think things will even out, and you're probably looking at a team that loses once or twice in the regular season by the time it's all done.
All right, Mitch, as we're going through the slate this weekend, take us to the biggest one, Texas-Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl on the Texas State Fairgrounds. A beautiful sight, the one side with the crimson, the other side with the burnt orange. It's cool to see every year. This one seems to have a little bit more added importance, and to me, doesn't it seem like every time a team comes limping in or with question marks, they find a way to win the game? Oklahoma, bounce back here, or are you a believer in the Longhorns, who are 2-0 in conference?
Well, I believe in what Texas is doing on the defensive side, and with Sam Ehlinger in charge as he was last week. If in fact Texas decides to go that way again, I know Bouchel was hurt, so there's some question about what direction Texas is going to go with its offense. You know, I saw Bouchel in person in Ames 2 weeks ago on Thursday night, and it's just not a real pretty sight, that offense. To me, it just looks smoother with Ehlinger. We'll see. Bouchel definitely has the edge and experience, but those games that Ehlinger has played last week against K-State and of course out at USC, that offense has looked better. And if the offense plays like that and the defense plays like it has really since the Maryland game, which was an anomaly, I think, just kind of a mess overall in the first game under Tom Herman, then you know, Texas to me is a contender in the Big 12. I'm sold on them as a team that will have shown vast improvement from 2016 to 2017. And, you know, I think this game will follow that storyline. Not saying that Texas is going to win, but it doesn't come in at an apparent huge disadvantage like it has in many of the past, 5 to 7 years. I think there's a good shot for Texas in this one. And I think Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield will have some troubles, as everyone will in the Big 12, moving the ball consistently against that Texas defense.
Mitch, you're going to be sequestered nicely in beautiful Lincoln this weekend, covering Nebraska and Ohio State. Have they already run head coach Mike Riley out of town? He's just hanging on until the end of the season, or can he indeed save his job?
Well, he can win the rest of his games, and that would do it. I get asked this question a lot, being in Omaha, and before last Saturday when Nebraska was trampled in the second half by Wisconsin, my standard answer was, it's hard to say because you don't know who's going to be doing the hiring or the firing, if in fact it comes to that. You know, Nebraska's looking for an athletic director, and the guy who's there in the interim seat, Dave Remington, isn't there to fire anyone. Those are his words. So, if that AD search drags into late November, it's awfully difficult to come in and be a new guy and make a coaching change that quick, especially with the early signing period. I think Nebraska would be looking just for some consistency, and Riley would really get the benefit of the doubt. But, also, you don't make a change 3 weeks into the season with your athletic director if your administration is not pointing the school in the direction of going down the road of changing coaches. That was clearly on the minds of the decision makers, regardless of what they say, when Sean Eichhorst was fired after the Northern Illinois game. They wanted to at least put Nebraska in a position to be able to make a change if it had to. And, you know, if it had to, then the way they would determine that, according to those decision makers, was to see if Nebraska was competitive against Wisconsin, against Ohio State, against Penn State, against Iowa, against the teams that this program expects to to be in games against. And it didn't work really in the first opportunity out there last week. Wisconsin scored 3 touchdowns, and that Nebraska had no answer for after the game was tied in the second half. So, it's not looking good. I would say, it's definitely not looking good in the prognosis for the rest of the year for Nebraska and for Mike Riley to move forward. But, the first things have to come first, and they've got to find an athletic director to run the show.
So the Big Ten has an odd weekend, Michigan State in the rain, getting it done against Michigan. What are your thoughts on Jim Harbaugh? You know, there's a lot of murmurs right now, not getting it done against his rivals, and all it is pomp and circumstance, but nothing actually that actually happens on the field. When you look at Harbaugh and what he's doing behind schedule in the Wolverines?
Yeah, I think it shifted a little bit last week. I wouldn't have said that before Michigan lost to Michigan State. Off to an undefeated start until a week ago. Seemed to be doing great things with that defense again under Don Brown. But you lose to Michigan State, which is a team that seemed to be overachieving to have gotten to that point with one loss. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to view it that way. I wouldn't necessarily say as a program in the third year under Jim Harbaugh that Michigan is behind schedule. I mean, if you step away from that loss on Saturday and you look at where the Michigan program is, he's returned it to a place of being relevant and prominent. They've upgraded the recruiting. They're winning games. It was difficult last week for Michigan to replace its starting quarterback. John O'Korn, the guy who stepped in, didn't have a good game, threw 3 interceptions. If they continue to lose these games, these rivalry games, and it goes into next year, then yeah, I think you can say there's an issue there. But you know, I'm not ready to throw dirt on Jim Harbaugh. I think that the job that he's done there is largely good. But the losses, the continued losses in those games that matter most to people at Michigan are troubling.
Mitch, it's always good, pal, when you take time with us. We always appreciate it. Have a great day and enjoy the game between Nebraska and Ohio State on Saturday. Thanks, Mitch.
Absolutely, will do. You guys have a good rest of the week.
There you go, Mitch Sherman, ESPN, right here on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. Always good stuff from him, Trent.
Question for you here, Jimmy B. Who is the 6th best team in the Big Ten? Let's agree, just for argument's sake, best teams.
Okay.
Penn State, Wisconsin, yeah. Ohio State, yeah. Michigan yeah. State, Michigan. Who's the 6th best team in the Big Ten?
Oh, man. Well, it's not Maryland or Rutgers or Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Not Illinois.
It's not Illinois. I thought it might be Iowa or Minnesota, but right now I would have to select Iowa.
Yeah. I guess you could maybe make an argument for Purdue.
That'd for be the Purdue? Only,
yeah,
yeah.
Maybe. Indiana, probably not. Minnesota, Northwestern, certainly not. They've been a huge disappointment, I think, to this point.
They have been. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Iowa, even with this team, and we're struggling with the Hawkeyes, they're 4-2, about where everybody had them, getting to the bye week, but it's such a weird season, Jimmy B. The questions mm-hmm. that we had, quarterback, playmakers on the outside, defensive backfield, those have been answered. It's been the line play that's been the disappointment, both on the offensive and defensive line. It's just such an odd year for Iowa Hawkeye football under Kirk Ferentz.
It has been, and now you get the bye week and a chance to get all the little nicks and dings kind of healed up and then have a little second wind and get ready then for the second half of the season for the Hawkeyes. And it's going to be difficult. You're not going to catch Illinois. Now they've got some – they're going to play some power brokers now, Trent.
Yeah, it's it'll ramp up. Northwestern, though, has had their set of problems. Minnesota certainly taking yeah. a little bit of a step back. And did you see P.J. Fleck the other day in his press conference? He He was a little surly with the media. He didn't want to answer questions about Duck Duck Goose or Duck Duck Gray.
No, he did. I saw you tweet that out. I saw that. He says, "Hey, I'm not worried about that. I got a coach." That was pretty. You can tell his pants are in a bind.
Yes.
There's no question about that. Yeah.
Well, yep. We're going to take a time out here, Jimmy B. When we come back, we're going to talk some Cyclones. Cody Peck from BC Divide, he'll be by. And a little more Cyclone talk for you. How's that sound, Jimmy B?
I'm good with that, Trent. You know me, especially a team that goes in and knocks off the number 3 team in the nation. Why not? Let's do it. Coming up next, everybody, right here on the Big Talker 1700. And welcome back, everybody. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock. Jimmy B and TC, it's the Big Talker 1700. Saying hello right now to Cody Peck, BC Divide. Great content for Cyclone and Hawkeye fans. It's BC Divide.
Our conversations with Cody on the Cyclones and his brother Derek on the Hawkeyes are presented by Murphy Tower. In fact, opportunity, you're out there looking for something new, looking for a new job. They can help you out right now with Murphy Tower, as they have starting availability happening right now. Murphy Tower, find them online at murphytower.com.
And Cody comes to us on the Draft House 50 hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. Cody, how are you, man?
Hey, fellas, not too bad. It's a beautiful day here now that the clouds have kind of gone away. It's a nice afternoon.
There you go. That's always a good thing. Let's kind of jump into something here that I've been thinking about. And after Iowa State does the unthinkable and pulls off the monster upset, now they get Kansas, a game at home that every Cyclone fan had written down as a W. Is there any possible way they could stumble in this game, or you just don't see it?
To be honest with you, Jimmy, I don't really see that happening on Saturday. KU last beat us down there at home in 2014, and it's a time now where I believe that Coach Campbell has got the mindset of this team right. Mentally, for them to go down to Norman last weekend and do what they did, considering the circumstances leading into that game with Jacob Park and the rest of the team, I really truly believe that the mindset of this Cyclone football team is in the right place right now, and they realize that this is not a game they can take lightly, no matter the opponent.
So take us back, Cody, to Saturday. The upset heard across college football, upending the Sooners. An odd week. The rumors were out there about Jacob Park not making the trip, what was happening there. It didn't feel like anybody really gave him a shot. Even the most ardent Cyclone fan, Cody, you didn't give him a shot going into that game, did you?
Heck no, Trent. I mean, I think everyone out there was in the same boat. Had them as, you know, I think they're 31-point underdogs. Got up to 32 when the announcement was made that Park was out. And then when Saturday rolled around, it was kind of one of those things where I fully expected, Trent, as the game progressed on Saturday, I was waiting for that, you know, that kick to the groin region, that it just never happened. And as an Iowa State fan, that's something that typically does happen. And when it didn't happen, I just couldn't believe it, man. The way that game played out was unbelievable.
Cody, let me just follow up with that, with what you saw. And let's start first with the quarterback. And Kyle Kemp, nobody even knew the guy could play. And here he is leading the offense, throwing for over 300 yards, not making big mistakes, and Iowa State trailed by 2 touchdowns early in that game. The fumble recovery by Lanning, I think, turned the tide, and that got the confidence factor back. But let's go back to Kemp. With what he did on the field, they simplified, but they made things work, and their playmakers came up with one big play after the next.
Yeah, they sure did, Jimmy. You know, that kid, Kyle, he came in, and it's kind of at the point where he was told he would be the starter on Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe it was, he was playing with house money. You know, you go into a game as a 30-point underdog, a kid that's never started a game for Coach Campbell and the Cyclones, and at that point in time, you know, he really has nothing to lose. And after, I mean, doing some interviews and stuff this week with the team and the players, you really get to know Kyle as a person, and I thought maybe that was just a front and just a show that he was putting on, that he was as calm and cool and as collected as he comes off, but he really is that type of kid. I mean, I truthfully don't think that had he gone into that game a favorite over an Oklahoma team, that his mentality would have been any different on Saturday. And that's what's exciting, you know. And that's also what makes me so confident about Saturday, is with Kemp being the starter, I really truly believe that he's going to take that game just as serious as he did that Oklahoma game.
You know, that is a great story. And Kemp, a guy that lost his job at Hutchinson Community College, is out there and beating Oklahoma. Absolutely ridiculous. And what a performance out of him. But, of course, people continue to talk about Joel Lanning, and as they should, with that performance. Defense, offense, special teams. He was doing it all. And now Cody feels like he's going to go down in lore. Already a great Cyclone, but just took it to a completely different level. People will be talking about that one for years and years.
Well, you're right, Trent. You know, the big thing, the big thing is today, the news up on Ames is that ESPN is on campus, and they're doing a little film segment for Joel Lanning and the team and the big upset over Oklahoma that's going to be shown on Saturday on ESPN College Game Day, actually. So it's not just us locally here in Iowa. You know, the awards have come out this week for this team, for Coach Campbell, guys like you mentioned, Joel Lanning, Kyle Kemp, and then a guy like Garrett Owens. You know, that's a guy that our kicker – it goes unknown. He doesn't really get talked about as much when you have guys like Joel Lanning doing crazy things like him and Kyle did on Saturday. But, you know, Garrett Owens is 7-for-8 this year. He was a Lou Groza nominee this weekend for the Kicker of the Week. It just all worked out nicely on Saturday for the Cyclones. And, yeah, you mentioned a guy like Joel Lanning, Trent. It's really unbelievable what he did. It's really hard to believe, and it's going to go down in the record books and something that we'll be talking about forever. So, you know, I'm happy when good things happen to good people, you guys, and Joel Lanning is a good person. He's very deserving. So I'm happy for Joel and the Cyclone football family for sure.
Okay, so in the state of Iowa, most football fans in the state of Iowa knew the story that he hadn't played on defense since about the 7th or 8th grade. But nationally, it really wasn't getting that much pub until that game in Norman against Oklahoma, and a game that was on the main Fox network, and that's when it was truly discovered. How will life change, or has it already now, for Joel Lanning and the national media?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jimmy. You know, it's for Joel, I think for him, luckily, he's a down-to-earth kid, a local kid there out of Ankeny, and I don't think that it'll change much more than it already has with ESPN being on campus today. I think that's going to be the extent of it for Joel. He did get 3 Heisman third place votes this week. I think that was just out of respect for the animal that he was on Saturday. But, you know, Joel is doing things defensively that deserve to be looked at, not just because he got to play some offense on Saturday, but he's second in the Big 12 right now in tackles. As a first-year linebacker, that's incredible. This defense for Iowa State is giving up an average of, I think, 21.6 points per game this season. Last year, there was over 31 points per game. They're a much improved defense, and that credit really has to go to number 7 and Joel Lanning.
You know, the program takes a step forward. We've seen Iowa State, though, Cody, pull upsets before. We're talking with Cody Peck, bcdivide.com. We've seen this happen before, but then it doesn't translate to the next step. Why, in your estimation, because I know you think it's going to happen, why is this going to lead to the next step for Iowa State football?
I really think, Trent, that it's the confidence that Coach Campbell has built now within this program. It was evident after the game against Oklahoma. That's a game that's easy to go into the locker room and you know, get all pumped up and party as a team and be stoked about the victory. But Coach Campbell came into that locker room, and he was undoubtedly told those kids, very similar to Coach Rhodes did back in 2011 after the Oklahoma State win, that he was proud of them. But it's a matter of not letting this game be the best piece of the puzzle for this football season, for this Iowa State football team. And Coach Campbell and his staff do a great job of getting those players to understand this is this week. We have a new opponent to look forward to with KU this coming Saturday, and it all starts again. So I really truly think, Trent, that it's the future is being built right now by Coach Campbell and his staff, and that's instilling the confidence in these players to understand that they got to play week to week and to build on what they've already had for success so far this season.
Cody Peck is our guest, BC Divide, on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. All right, Cody, so here we are matched up against Kansas with a 3-2 record. Great opportunity now to go 4-2. Are there 2 more wins then out there that would make Iowa State bowl eligible? And where do you see them coming?
You know, I really do think there are. It's going to be, I think it's going to take one more knockoff, one more surprise game where we come in as an underdog, Jimmy, to get the upset and to get to the bowl games. You know, like you mentioned, we should get to 4-2, or we will get to 4-2 after Saturday. I like the matchup against Kansas State and West Virginia to be the two missing puzzle pieces this season to get us to that 6-5 record, 6-6 record, and get us back to the first bowl game in quite some time.
Cody, it's unbelievable where this program has come, where they are, and that upset against Oklahoma. So, in the Pantheon, we always go the latest is the greatest, but is this the best win in Iowa State football history?
I got to think it is, Trent. You know, you go on the road and you beat the number three team in the country. Hands down, it puts this game ahead of that Oklahoma State win back in 2011 in my book. That Oklahoma State came in ranked number two in the country, but, you know, that was at home. We had some help from the fans in the student section there, at least in the second half of that game. But this game you go in, I mean, you 31-point underdogs to the number three team in the country with a player that's starting quarterback for them who's in the Heisman talk. And undoubtedly, this is the biggest win in Iowa State football history, in my opinion.
It was absolutely incredible to watch and an unbelievable game. What does that do then, Cody, for recruiting for Iowa State? Is that something then the coaches could walk in and say, hey, look, we just knocked off the number three team in Oklahoma. You need to come play with us. We're a team on the rise.
Yeah, Jimmy, you know, the crazy part about that is that, so I do a lot of talking with these recruits. There's a kid named Braden Narveson down in Arizona who's the number one kicker in the state of Arizona, and he signed to come play for the Cyclones next year. And him and Rial Mitchell are the two that I probably talk to the most, and both were actually in the state for the Texas game on Thursday night a couple weeks ago, unfortunately. And so after talking to them after that game, you really get a sense for they were depleted. They felt let down. And, you know, some of those kids may start having second thoughts. But then a game like this Oklahoma upset rolls around, and it just instills in these kids that they're right. They're making the right choices. And there's going to be some good recruits here on Saturday for the KU game. So I'm excited, man. It's a good time to be a Cyclone fan, and I really, truly think that Coach Gamble and his staff over there in Ames are doing a great job with recruiting. We're starting to get some 3- and 4-star athletes where we were settling and really trusting in the process of rebuilding these recruits, these 1- and 2-star recruits that we had been getting. So it's a fun time, and the recruits are definitely taking notice of this year's team.
Last thing for me, Cody, for you. The win was huge for Iowa State, but in a way, much like the win against Oklahoma State hurt the Big 12 as we got that crappy all-SEC championship matchup, did the Cyclones kind of screw the Big 12?
Yeah, they definitely did, man. I don't know how many millions of dollars that ended up costing the Big 12 by upsetting Oklahoma. And pretty much, I mean, some things would have to happen, obviously, for them to jump into that Final Four in the playoffs. But, no, that definitely cost the conference a nice chunk of change. But, hey, we'll take it, man. There's enough money going around NCAA that I don't think they're going to be running into any issues lately.
Our conversations with Cody on the Cyclones and his brother Derek on the Hawkeyes are presented by Murphy Tower. In fact, opportunity, you're out there looking for something new, looking for a new job. They can help you out right now with Murphy Tower, as they have starting availability happening right now. Murphy Tower, find them online at murphytower.com.
Thank you, Cody, man. It's always good when we chat with you. You have a great day, pal.
All right, fellas. Have a good rest of your afternoon.
There you go. That's Cody Peck, everybody. BC Divine on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. Trent, the reason I asked him right off the top about the Kansas thing is that when you come off such an emotional victory, mm-hmm. you just wonder if, because we're still talking 18 to 23-year-olds, are they just going to think, oh, Kansas, they're just terrible. Sure. All we got to do is put the pads on and beat them.
And Iowa State still is not at a point where they can do that.
You know, No, they are not. No.
This football team cannot do that. So I think there has to be a little bit of concern. You know, Kansas can score a little. They're terrible defensively. But they can put points on the board, and all of a sudden you're in a game and it's 31-28 in the fourth quarter. Well, look what happened last weekend out in Norman. Same people in Oklahoma were saying the exact same thing. So, no, this team will be able to move the football a little bit, and even with the improvements we've seen out of Iowa State defensively, got to be ready. And if all of a sudden, you know, they're not turning it over and they're playing a clean game, we can very well be talking about a four-quarter game. Always have to be a little concerned about that, I think, from any side. Upsets happen all over, and, well, that one was a 30-point. Iowa State just a 20-point favorite against the Jayhawks. I still don't see it happening, though, Jimmy B.
That's just incredible. You go from a 30-31-point dog, and then the next week you're a 20-point favorite. Can you remember anything like that?
No,
I don't remember anything like that.
No, earlier in the week I brought that up. I don't think, especially with conference games, you know, when you're games with that kind of swing, I don't think anything like that has ever happened before. But Jimmy B., your day is done a little bit early today. Going to talk some wrestling next. And no, not that garbage that you like to talk about. We know that you're in love with the fake wrestling. No, I'm going to talk some real wrestling with our friend Tony Hager from IAWrestle.com. They got a big event happening over at Carver Hawkeye Arena Friday night, the Night of Conflict. Some of the best wrestlers here in the state of Iowa going after up against some different wrestlers from across the country up at Carver. We're going to talk to Tony next, so... No, you cannot talk about Ric Flair, Jimmy B., so I'll let you sit this one out.
Tony's my boy. He and I did some TV on a wrestling match about a year and a half ago. We had a great time.
Good stuff. We'll take the time out. Back with more Jimmy B. and TC here in a moment. Welcome back, Jimmy B. and TC. We take you up until 6 o'clock tonight, and changing over from the baseball, the football talk, time to talk wrestling. And joining us right now, good friend to the program. Love talking wrestling with this guy, and he joins us right now on the Draft House 50 hotline. It's Tony Hager. Tony, good afternoon.
Hey, how we doing? Love talking wrestling with you guys.
Well, you guys have a big event coming up on Friday night out of Carver Hawkeye Arena. It is the Night of Conflict. It's the third edition of this. So let's just explain a little bit what it is. Some of the top wrestlers from the state of Iowa going up, some big names across the Midwest.
Yeah, this is kind of deemed a premier event to kick off the wrestling season here in Iowa. High school practice doesn't start for a full month, so this is really an opportunity for Iowa kids to get on a national scene and really test themselves. And some guys that maybe aren't committed or haven't been really on the highly recruited rankings, this is a huge opportunity for guys like, you know, Kyle Biscaglia from Waukee, Aiden Reeves from Alvia. There's Drew Bennett from Fort Dodge, Cade DeVos from Southeast Polk, all guys that are uncommitted, and this is an opportunity that they're getting to wrestle kids in the top 10 in the country.
Yeah, some big names certainly making their way in. One of the big names that certainly jumped off the page on the lineup that you sent out to me, Tony, was Matt Ramos. A connection to a Ramos that people in the wrestling community might know?
There actually isn't. There isn't actually to that that family, from what I've gathered, anyways. Maybe down the line there might be some kind of a Ramos. There's got to be some sort of family tied to that, but no, they actually not cousins or anything like that, but still from Illinois too, so
right.
you would just assume, right?
That's exactly what I did. I saw Illinois, Matt Ramos. It's got to be some kind of connection, and of course I'm dead wrong. Imagine that. Well, Tony, looking at some of these matchups, well, let's talk about that one right there. I want to get your thoughts on Ramos, a Lackport, Illinois kid, as you mentioned, from Illinois, who he's going up against here, Caleb Rathjen, Iowa standout, and a guy that may be flying under the radar a little bit. What can you tell us about him?
Well, Caleb's from Ankeny. He's going to be wrestling this year. He's a freshman. So a lot of people that are around high school wrestling, there's a reason why you haven't heard of him yet. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't made that splash. He's going to be come into this year highly ranked. Not sure where he's going to land weight-wise. He's been 106 to 120 for the high school weight classes, and 3A is absolutely stacked at 106 and 113. So I'm going to assume that he's going to go to 113, but time will tell. But kid's an AAU state champ. He's wrestled on the national scene at Fargo. He's brought home some All-American honors. So this is definitely a guy that you need to keep your eye on if you're an Iowa high school wrestling fan.
No doubt. And you mentioned, is he Ankeny High or Ankeny Centennial? Where is he going to be wrestling?
Ankeny High.
Ankeny High.
Ankeny High.
Very interesting. You know, we've seen a couple of good kids from Centennial the last few years, Ankeny. You know, that split, football, they've been able to, you know, continue to build. But wrestling's got to be even more difficult, getting those 14 weight class built up back at a level after the split of the high schools.
Yeah, I think a lot of the better kids did move to Centennial, but Ankeny's really got the tradition. So I'm shocked that it is that way. That's really, really difficult. I'm, you know, also kind of worried when Waukee, they're going to eventually split to two, probably. That's going to gut their program. You know, for football and basketball, it's fine. But when you have these niche sports, when you don't have, you know, 80 to 150 kids that want to be a part of it, it's hard to find those top-level wrestlers that can put together a 3A title-contending team.
It's a night of conflict.
It'll be interesting to see.
Night of Conflict 3 happening at Carver Hawkeye Arena coming up on Friday night, and tickets available for the event. Kid I was so impressed with down at Wells Fargo Arena, took home the title at 106 pounds. From Mason City, Cullen Shriver, he's going up against Jeremiah Reno in his matchup there. Shriver wins the 3A title a year ago. In fact, beat one of those kids we were talking about from Ankeny Centennials. He beat Ben Monroe, a very talented youngster in his own right for the Jaguars there. But tell us a little bit about Shriver and a kid from Mason City that did some great things a year ago.
At Cullen, you know, coming into the season, huge, you know, highly nationally ranked. He won a Fargo freestyle title, but he was undersized. He won that at 88 pounds. So going up to 106, a lot of people were kind of concerned of whether or not he could handle that weight jump up to 106. And he plowed his way through the state championships. He had a little bit of a not an exciting match at semifinals. He was pretty disappointed, but ended up getting the job done. So anytime you can win a state title, obviously you get tagged for an opportunity to be a four-timer. And Cullen is going to be that. I've heard that he's going to be going back down to 106 again next year. Mm. So he'll be the odds-on favorite to win that title again.
Well, here on the local front, making their way to Carver Friday night for the Night of Conflict, West Des Moines Valley's Joel Shapiro put together a nice season last year, took home his first state title undefeated, and he becomes one of the first names that says he's going to go wrestle with Iowa State's new head coach and Kevin Dresser there. He's got a good matchup, though, looking at the rankings. Kid coming in from Michigan, Brandon Whitman.
Yeah, this is going to be a big test for Joel. Joel really has been red hot for almost a full year, taking out tons of big names around the, obviously the state and around the country. Committing to Iowa State, I feel like there's going to be a little bit of weight lifted off his shoulders, so he just doesn't have to go out there and perform for the coaches. It's just his own deal. He's been a little bit under the weather this past week. We were kind of worried that we might not actually see him in the event, so he'll be a little undersized. He's lost a little weight against Brandon Whitman from Michigan. He's actually committed to North Carolina, so we got two D1 top-level athletes in our main event, Night of Conflict, on Friday.
One other local guy getting going on Friday night, it'll be Kyle Biscoglia from Waukee going up against a kid with a high ranking himself, a top 10 kid, in Jace Kostler. Biscoglia, a kid, really enjoy him. Seems like he's a kid that always, you know, the feet are moving. He's always looking to attack and always looking for points.
Yeah, Kyle's a really great defensive wrestler. He really is he thinks out his match really well, so it's really hard to score on him. He keeps matches close, so you know, Biscoglia is a guy that has been, you know, he's got some national accolades as well. He's creeping up into those rankings, and this is a huge opportunity for him. Jace Kostler is a guy kind of opposite of Kyle, who lets it fly. He's willing to take some risks and some shots, so it'll be really a contrast of defensive and offensive wrestlers here. And yeah, I think if you're Kyle, you got to get on your offense now. You got to be looked at by these college these coaches. They want to see the aggressor. So this would be an opportunity for him to come in and knock a top 10 opponent off.
Well, tickets available right now. The Conflict at Carver happening coming up on Friday night. People want to get some tickets. They got the Wrestling Jones. You know how guys are. You know, we're ready to see wrestling, even though it's only October, and you're going to see some high-level wrestling. Tell where they can go to pick up tickets.
You can go to iewrestle.com. There's a bunch of links on there as well. And or you can just search in Google for Night of Conflict. And floor tickets are sold out. We've got 8 VIP tickets left on the floor at $100 a pop. And there's also general admission tickets. Carver, almost impossible to sell out. But we've got plenty of tickets up at the general admission. So you can get them online ahead of time, print your tickets out, or you can get them at the door. We should have cash and credit card machines available. But definitely pre-sale is the way to go. That way we can get everybody in the door and on the mats as fast as possible.
Tony Hager, iawrestle.com is the website, providing a great content and a great night of wrestling coming up Friday night at Carver. Well, we talked about getting tickets there, but people kind of wonder, well, where's the money going to go? It's staying in the wrestling community, all the proceeds benefiting the Hawkeye Wrestling Club. A great event and a great opportunity to help out that Hawkeye Wrestling Club.
Yeah, this is an opportunity for these wrestlers to be, you know, recognized on the national scene. It's a great opportunity for fans to give back to wrestlers that these guys are inspiring to be. All the money goes to Hawkeye Wrestling Club, which is, for people that aren't familiar with, you know, wrestling, we don't have a professional wrestling league. We have NFL, NBA. So when these guys graduate college, their next goal is Olympic dreams. So the money that goes to this funds these athletes. The Hawkeye Wrestling Club pays these guys a salary to go and compete and bring home these world team medals. So yes, it's an Iowa Hawkeye. These guys are Iowa Hawkeyes, but they've brought in people from like Ali Reagan, Boris Nabotchkov, that have no ties to the Iowa program. So this money is really going to Americans, guys representing the United States. They just happen to train in a black and gold room. So Iowa State fans, UNI fans, this is an event for all of you. This is definitely an event for the United States.
Well, looking forward to it Friday night at Carver. Hey, one more thing. The Hawkeye Wrestling Club, a lot of headlines throughout the springtime as they're looking to rebuild it. And you look at the program that Penn State has built, and Cale Sanderson recruiting at a high level. But you know, people inside wrestling will tell you it's more than just the recruiting element. The way you get those guys in there is because of the wrestling club. It's, you know, the Hawkeye Wrestling Club at least getting close to getting back on foot with what's happening out of Penn State.
They got a long ways to go. Penn State raised reportedly like $6.8 million, and Iowa is like $2 million. So they've got it's an arms race for funding because they can pay some of these athletes, some of the top athletes around the world, to come in and train with their club. So Iowa's got a long ways to go, but they've hired some new people in that Hawkeye Wrestling Club to go out and fundraise. A guy named Adam Fellers just got a new title. And he's going out there trying to raise money for not only the club, but new wrestling facilities. Actually, the Iowa Hawkeyes are going to get new facilities on the campus. So that's pretty exciting for Iowa wrestling fans.
No doubt about it. And a great opportunity to give back Friday night to the Hawkeye Wrestling Club. It is the night of conflict with IA Wrestle and IAWrestle.com. Tony, as always, good catching up with you once again. We'll be talking to you again on Friday night, talking a little bit deeper into the high school sports during our high school football coverage and talking some high school wrestling then. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good. Appreciate the time.
Thanks to Tony. We are out of time. Enjoy the baseball tonight as we keep an eye on things. Of course, Game 5 tonight, the decider with the Indians and the Yankees. Even a little Sun Belt action. Southern Alabama and Troy, you know, will be firing at that. We'll be back tomorrow starting at noon. The Kent Miller Show with myself, Trent Condon, from noon until 2. And then Jimmy B and TC from 4 until 6 o'clock. All here on 1700 KBGG.